In your Bibles to Ruth 3, reading the whole chapter. If you're using a pew Bible, this is on page 223. Once again, Ruth 3. Let us now turn our attention to the reading of God's Word. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask. For all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Bow with me in prayer. Father in heaven, may your Spirit give us eyes to see and ears to hear the truth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we have made it through quite a bit in the book of Ruth. If you remember, the whole story began in chapter 1, where Naomi, her husband Elimelech, and their 2 sons left Israel during a famine to go sojourn in the land of Moab. But there in Moab, tragedy struck. Elimelech and his 2 sons die, so that in the end, Naomi returns to Israel a widow, with nothing left except for Ruth the Moabite. But then we saw in chapter 3 how Ruth went out to gather food to provide for herself and for Naomi. And there in the fields, she finds favor, protection, and provision from a man named Boaz. And Boaz isn't just any Israelite. Boaz is a kinsman redeemer of Naomi, because he is a relative of Elimelech. If you remember, that language of redeemer is a provision that was made in the law that allowed for a close relative to buy back someone who had sold himself off into slavery because they were too poor, or a relative who had to sell their land because of poverty. Their close kin could buy them back, buy back their land so that they could once again have a place in Israel, and their name could continue to the generations to come. Boaz is a close relative of Elimelech. We also saw that Boaz is a man of wealth. He has the wealth to buy back the land and Naomi and Ruth. But what happened at the end of chapter 2? Well, at the end, the harvest is finished. And not only is the harvest finished that was bringing the food for Ruth and Naomi, but Ruth is still in her mother-in-law's house. Yes, Boaz is a redeemer, but at the end of chapter 2, redemption hasn't happened yet. So then we come here to chapter 3, and we wonder, how will Ruth and Naomi be redeemed? And so we begin with these first 5 verses as Naomi lays out her quest for Ruth's rest. These first 5 verses. Beginning again with verse 1, Naomi says, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you?" Now, this language of seeking rest should remind us of something that Naomi had said back in chapter 1. In 1 verse 9, she said, "The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." There, Naomi had blessed Ruth and asked that the Lord would grant to her a resting place, would grant to her another husband after Ruth lost her own, and would grant her peace, provision, protection. Now, this language of rest has a rich biblical history behind it. If you remember, the book of Ruth is set in the time of Judges. And just before the time of the Judges had been the conquest of Joshua. In the book of Joshua, Joshua tells the people that the Lord had made a promise to Moses, a promise where the Lord your God is providing you, the people of Israel, a place of rest and will give you this land. And so that promise of rest, rest in the land of Canaan, is what drove that whole conquest so that by the end of the book of Joshua, in Joshua 21, 44, it says there that the Lord did give them rest on every side from their enemies. He had fulfilled the promise that he had made to Abraham by giving them land in Canaan. But then we come to the book of Judges. And yes, they have rest, but it seems like such a shaky kind of peace. Time and time again, the people of Israel in the book of Judges are coming under oppression. And each time the Lord raises up a deliverer for them, a judge, who does deliver them for a time, and the land has peace for some years, but then they just come back under oppression again. Israel during the time of Judges has received this fulfillment in one sense of the promises God made to them, and yet it seems like their rest is so shaky. What is Israel looking for in the time of the Judges? They're looking for an ultimate deliverer, one who can give them lasting peace. Ruth then is like the Israelites. She is in the land of Israel, but she lacks any lasting rest. She's still a foreigner in the land. She looks for a place of peace and protection, a place of rest in her husband's house. And friend, this is our story as well. If you are apart from Christ, then this is your state right now. If you do not know Christ, then you are wandering in the wilderness apart from the rest that is found in Christ alone. And Christian, for you, this is your history of once being apart from Christ, wandering in the dangers of this wilderness wanderings, apart from Christ, apart from peace in him. So what is Naomi doing here? Well, she has a plan to bring together Ruth and Boaz. She had made that blessing to Ruth that the Lord would give her rest, and now it seems that Naomi is going to be an instrument of the Lord to achieve that. So in verse 2, she describes how Boaz is winnowing barley that night at the threshing floor. At the end of a grain harvest, there would have been this time of threshing where workers would have separated the edible from the inedible parts of the grain and stored the grain to last them through the seasons when they could not grow food for themselves. And so this is where Boaz is that evening. He has been winnowing barley, and he will be at the threshing floor. And so Naomi has Ruth wash and anoint herself, put on fresh clothing, and to go down to that threshing floor where she'll wait until Boaz is asleep, and then Ruth is to go and to uncover his feet and to lay there until Boaz tells her what to do. Now, for the ears of the Israelites, what Naomi is asking here would have been shocking. Threshing floors were often associated with illicit behavior. In Hosea 9:1, we see that. You see, this is a time when men would be alone. They would be away from the sight of others. And so this would have been a common place for prostitution. And Naomi is asking Ruth here to make herself as appealing as possible and to wait until Boaz has been cheered by food and drink. She tells him to uncover his feet and to lay down. And that Hebrew word for lying down is a word often used in innuendos. What is Naomi trying to cause to happen this evening? Remember, Ruth is a Moabite, and there's echoes of the story of how Moab came to be, how it came through the immorality between Lot and his daughters in Genesis 19. Well, whatever happens this evening, Naomi is certain that Boaz will make things right. She's certain in verse 4 that he will tell her what to do. And so Ruth says, "All that you say, I will do." So Ruth then goes to seek the Redeemer at the threshing floor. Verses 6 through 15, Ruth seeks the Redeemer at the threshing floor. There in verse 6, it's the dark of night. The scene is just Ruth going to seek out Boaz. Think of just how dangerous a situation Ruth is placing herself in. Remember, she's again a widow without any real rights in Israel. She's a single woman. She's a Moabite foreigner. What will Boaz do when he finds her? Will he lash out in anger? Will he reject her and turn her away? Regardless of this danger, Ruth does exactly as her mother-in-law tells her to do. She goes and sees where Boaz is, waits till he has eaten and drunk and his heart is merry. And then when he goes to lie at the end of the heap of grain, she goes softly, uncovers his feet, and lays down. Then in verse 8, Boaz is startled in the night. He awakes in the middle of the night, and what is this? There's a woman at his feet. And so he says, "Who are you?" And Ruth announces herself. She says, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." That language of spreading his wings, if you have an ESV version, you'll see it in the footnote that this could also be translated the corners of a garment. So in other words, this could be translated something like, spread the corners of your garment over your servant. What is Ruth asking for here? This is a marriage proposal. That language of spreading a garment over another is a common practice during this time that would have symbolized an engagement. It's like today how in an engagement, a man will place a ring on a woman's finger to symbolize his engagement to her. But the narrator is also playing with words here. If you remember, something similar was spoken back in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 12, Boaz says, "The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Boaz had given a blessing to Ruth, saying that she had come under the wings of the Lord. Ruth here is saying, "Boaz, you be those wings. Be the agent of the Lord to provide this place of refuge. Spread the corners of your garment over me. Be my resting place." And what is her reason for this marriage proposal? It is that Boaz is a redeemer. Why did Naomi have Ruth go to seek out Boaz? Well, it was so that Ruth would no longer be this widow without a husband. Naomi was just simply seeking a resting place for her daughter-in-law. But Ruth has gone further. She says that Boaz is a redeemer. She sees this as an opportunity, not merely for her own safety and provision, but for redemption for Naomi and for the name of Elimelech. This is an opportunity for Boaz to buy back the land of Elimelech, to bless Naomi, and to restore this name that is about to be lost in Israel. How then does Boaz respond? Well, in verse 10, he says, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich." What was that first act of kindness, that first act of steadfast love? It was Ruth leaving her family, leaving her people, leaving her gods in Moab to come back with Naomi, to go to a people that was not her own people, to come before the Lord, the God of Israel, as her God, and to show steadfast love to her mother-in-law. That was her first act of steadfast love. And now Boaz is saying that she has shown a second one that's even greater. That she has gone further for her mother-in-law to seek redemption by marrying Boaz. Boaz, who is a much older man. She's passed up younger, seemingly more suitable men for Boaz. A young man who would be poor, so maybe in that case, for the sake of passionate love, seeking after them, or rich, seeking after men for wealth. She's not seeking those things. She's instead seeking to bless her mother-in-law with steadfast love. So a reminder to us that this book of Ruth is, it's not a passionate modern romance novel like we might immediately read it as. It's of a much deeper kind of love, a loyal, faithful love. Again, this word kindness is that word that is often spoken of the Lord, of his love to his people. In chapter 1, verse 8, Naomi said that Ruth had shown this to her. And so she asked that the Lord would show steadfast love to Ruth. And then in chapter 2, verse 20, we have that ambiguous phrase where Naomi says that steadfast love has been shown once again by Boaz or by the Lord. It's ambiguous, but it seems like both are in view there. And here, once again, Boaz is highlighting Ruth's steadfast love. What we're seeing time and time again in this book is that God's love is being worked out through these people. That God's steadfast love has been shown through Ruth and through Boaz and through Naomi to one another. In verse 11, Boaz says that he will do all that Ruth has asked for. Why? Because Ruth is a worthy woman. That was the same word that was spoken of Boaz in chapter 2, verse 1. And there, that word worthy, it speaks more of just merely character and dignity that Boaz had, but also his influence, his wealth. Ruth has none of that. She has no influence. She has no wealth in Israel. But she has a character that matches that of Boaz. She, like Boaz, is worthy. And then we come to verse 12. Everything seems to be going well. It seems like finally redemption has come. Boaz will marry Ruth. The land will be returned. But then Boaz reveals something. He says, "It is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I." Boaz seems like this perfect match, this worthy man, this man of grace and of love who has protected Ruth, but there's this other redeemer, and he has a right to redemption before Boaz does. The question is, will he act on that? Or will Boaz be the one to redeem Ruth and Naomi? Well, in verse 13, Boaz assures Ruth, tells her to remain that night, and in the morning, he will make right on his promise. If the other redeemer redeems, then good. But if not, as the Lord lives, he will redeem. He invokes the name of the Lord and is certain that this promise will be fulfilled. So we come to verse 13, and there's been all this tension building up. Ruth has come to this threshing floor, this place that has so many connotations behind it, and the question is, what has happened during this night? Question is, what has really happened when she remains that night? Well, the author makes it explicitly clear what happened. In verse 13, that word remain tonight is a Hebrew word that never has sexual connotations. It's the same word that Ruth used in chapter 1 when she said of Naomi, "Where you lodge, I will lodge." Ruth and Boaz are worthy, and they will continue to show steadfast love to one another. They will not commit immorality this evening. And so she does lie at his feet and wakes the next morning before anyone could notice each other. And she leaves, before she leaves, Boaz gives her these 6 measures of barley, and she returns. What we see there is Boaz showing his own steadfast love to Ruth. Instead of letting Ruth leave in the middle of the night when either she could have been at danger of being assaulted or at the potential risk of having her reputation being marred by other people seeing her leaving the threshing floor in the evening, he has her wait through the evening and then lets her return with this abundant provision of grain so that she would return back to her mother with food so that they might continue to be provided for. So Ruth returns in these final verses of 16 to 18 to deliver her report to Naomi. In 16 through 18, Ruth delivers her report to Naomi. In verse 16, we read that she relates everything that had happened to her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law asks how it went, and Ruth relays that not only had Boaz said that he would do everything that Ruth had asked for her, but he also gave these 6 measures of barley, for he said to me, "You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law." And that language of going back empty-handed, that should remind us again of what Naomi had said back in chapter 1. Remember, at the end of chapter 1, Naomi had lost everything. And it seemed like she had nothing. And so she declares, "I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. But now see what God has done for Naomi." Boaz has sent Ruth back with this provision of grain so that she would not come back empty-handed to her mother-in-law. God has restored Naomi and Ruth from the famine. But not only that, there is now a guarantee that they will be restored in even greater measure. For this grain that Boaz has provided is in many ways like a down payment on his promise, a physical sign and seal that he will do everything that Ruth has asked of him. One way or another, either by Boaz or by this other redeemer, Naomi and Ruth will be redeemed. Naomi will no longer be empty, and the name of Elimelech will not die out. So Naomi tells Ruth to wait. The matter will be settled in verse 18. But now, after all of this, after it seems like Boaz is the one, the engagement has to wait. Who will redeem in the end? Will it be this worthy man Boaz, one whom I'm sure Ruth wanted to redeem her? And if you're like me, you as well want Boaz to redeem her? Or will it be this other redeemer? Well, as we come to the end of this chapter, one thing that is clear throughout all three of these chapters is that God works for his people through seemingly ordinary means. Remember, Naomi had asked the Lord to provide Ruth a resting place, but in verse 1 of this chapter, she has become an instrument of bringing about that resting place. Boaz in chapter 2 had blessed Ruth by saying that she is under the Lord's wings, but now he has become an instrument of bringing about that refuge. And the steadfast, loyal love of the Lord that Naomi had asked the Lord to show to Ruth in chapter 1 has now flowed out through Ruth and through Boaz to one another and to Naomi. There's been no miracles, no direct revelation from God, but God has worked through his creatures, as he does even now today, working especially through his people to bring about his sovereign purposes. Christian, you are an instrument of God in this world. We don't just wait idly about hoping that God will act miraculously in our lives. As you go about your simple, ordinary lives of loving one another, of selfless acts to one another, of coming and gathering together, God is working his grand redemptive purposes. We can be confident that God works through his people and God watches over all his people, as he has done for Ruth and for Naomi and for Boaz. And we can be confident of that because what Ruth is asking of Boaz reminds us of how God has spread his wings over us. This language of spreading the corner of a garment is language that is spoken of God and his relationship with Israel. In Ezekiel 16:8, that same phrase is spoken to speak of of God and Israel together in metaphorical terms of a marriage. God says, I spread the corner of my garment over you. I bathed you with water and washed off your blood from you and anointed you with oil. It's that same language that Ruth used of spreading the corner of a garment. But in Ezekiel 16, that's a word of lament, where God is lamenting how Israel has turned away from him and has gone after idols. But there at the end of that chapter is a word of hope, that there would be a future restoration and God's people would once again be restored to him. And then we come to the New Testament. And in Ephesians 5, as Paul is speaking about marriage and the relationship between a husband and a woman, he uses that picture to speak about Christ and the church, echoing the language of Ezekiel 16. In Ephesians 5:25, he says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. What Ruth is asking of Boaz, Christ has done in a far greater sense for you, his church. You, like Ruth, were in the howling waste of the wilderness, with no hope, with no safety, apart from Christ in sin. But he gathered you under his wings. He gave himself up for the church. He died on behalf of his people. And he has sanctified and cleansed his church. And by the Spirit's work, he will present you in splendor without spot or wrinkle on that final day. Church, you are the bride of Christ. You are under his wings. You have found a place of refuge. Do not then wander in the wilderness apart from Christ. There is no refuge there for you. But instead, turn to Christ in faith and trust upon him. Naomi sought rest for Ruth. And for us, Christ has secured us a greater rest. For he has ascended into the heavens to prepare a place for you there in the heavens. For there, a heavenly rest awaits you, Christian. And Boaz ensured that Ruth would not return to her mother-in-law empty-handed, but would have a sign of assurance. So Christ has not left us empty as we await our heavenly rest. Christian, you have signs and seals of God's promise to you. You have the sacraments. You have been baptized. For God has set his seal on you that you are his. And you have the Lord's Supper, a continual promise that the Lord is your God and you are his child. And Christ has gifted you his Holy Spirit, a down payment of our heavenly reward, a guarantee that our inheritance is secure, kept in heaven for you. And as Boaz guaranteed his promise, as sure as the Lord lives, brothers and sisters, we can be confident that our Redeemer lives. The bedrock of all of these promises is that Jesus is not in the grave, but he is risen and ascended on high, our Redeemer in heaven above, preparing a place of rest for us. And he will return to take us there to be with him. And we shall enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb to spend all of eternity with Christ, our rest. So, Christian, long for that day. And as we await that day, know that Christ is watching over you, ordering and governing all of your actions. Pray with me. Our Father, our rest is in Christ. Our hope is in him. We long for the marriage supper of the Lamb. But as we wait, we know that you have not left us empty. Strengthen us then by the Holy Spirit, that we might live each day knowing that your sovereign hand is protecting and guiding us through this life to our heavenly rest. And we say with one spirit, come, Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.